The weather for today, cloudy with a high near 26. North-northwest wind around 27 or around 7 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 15. Tuesday, snow likely. Afternoon, cloudy with a high near 25. And currently in Wausau with overcast skies, it's 17 degrees at 8:59. Good morning and welcome to this Monday morning edition of Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret. The views and the opinions of this program are solely the views of myself and may not be the same as that of our management group, the Friends of WNRBLP, or our owners, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. Today we continue our verse by verse study through the book of 2 Corinthians. And we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we begin our study in verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8, Father, I ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he has had to deal with some very difficult issues because they were being harassed and led astray by false teachers. And they also had been involved in some pretty bad sins. And so in his first letter, he dealt with those things, and he continues in this second letter also. It's a very personal letter, in addition to being inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's a personal letter, and that's okay, though, because that's the way God wanted it written, and we can learn stuff from it. And he begins in chapter 8, verse 8, 2 Corinthians. He writes, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. He said, I want to test the sincerity of your love. And you see, sincere love does what is best for the one it professes to love. In fact, it is a mockery to say, I love you, and then not do what is in the best interest of that person. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And that was a wonderful thing that Almighty God did for us in his Son Jesus Christ. You know, as God, Jesus had existed forever. He is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. He existed forever in heaven. So he was the richest of the rich, no doubt. But he gave it all up to become a human being, because that was the only way that man's sins could be paid for. So like the apostle says here, he became poor to die for our sins so that we could become spiritually rich and join him in heaven. He gave for our good. Jesus gave sacrificially for our good. Verse 10. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. You know, when it came to the need for Christians to repent of some sin, Paul didn't pull any punches. I mean, as an apostle, he had authority and he exercised it. He commanded. But when it came to other things, like here in verse 10, he says, here's my advice. When it came to other things, he gave advice to Christians. He didn't try to lord it over believers. Very important to leave room for the Holy Spirit to lead in the lives of other Christians. And that's perfectly fine If you know something that Scripture says in certain areas, it's perfectly fine to give advice and to try to give counsel gently, make suggestions perhaps, but do it graciously and don't come on too strong. Just let the Holy Spirit work in that person's life. Verse 11. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. The apostle, he's saying, do your best. Do the best that you possibly can to follow through on what you began. Don't be a quitter. Verse 12. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Sometimes people have asked me this question, as a Christian, how much should I give? You know, how big should my offerings be? Well, you know, he lays down a pretty good principle right here. And this is one to that would be a good one to direct our lives as Christians in this area of giving. To begin with, it should be done willingly. And it should be sincere, and it should be according to what you have. So the apostle doesn't demand, as some preachers do today, that these Christians pledge a gift more than they can afford to give. He just said, give what you can. Be honest. Be honest before God. It's between you and God anyway. And just be honest. And give what you can. That's the Christian way of giving. Verse 13. He says, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. In other words, sharing. Sharing is what God expects his people to do. If a Christian has more than they need, and they know of other Christians who don't have enough, well, then they should share with them. Verse 14. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. So those who have received should also be willing to give. Those who have been helped should be willing to help when they're able to help. So everybody should be giving and helping one another. And it should be voluntary, and it should be done for the glory of God. That's the Christian way of giving. It doesn't have anything to do with rules or regulations or manipulation or anything like that. Verse 35, as it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. And that's talking actually historically about the amount of manna that God provided for his people during their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness back when they came out of Egyptian slavery. God gave them exactly enough every single morning for that day. And the next day they'd have to go out and get enough for that day. You didn't give them too much. You didn't give them too little. And that's, generally speaking, that's a good rule to govern your life by as a Christian. The Bible teaches that moderation is a good thing for God's people. Avoid the extremes and you're usually pretty safe, biblically speaking. Verse 16, I thank God, who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. You know, it's always encouraging to find another Christian who thinks the way we think. Kind of confirms that you've been led by the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. For Titus, now Titus was a young preacher, a sometimes companion of the Apostle Paul. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And that's the way it should be. You know, Christians should be enthusiastic about Jesus Christ. Look, if you can't be enthusiastic about the one who died on the cross to pay for your sins so that you don't have to go to hell, what in the world can you be enthusiastic about? I don't know. But Christians should be enthusiastic about Jesus, and they should also be self-starters when it comes to doing things for the Lord. A desire to help and giving that help should flow out of our relationship with Christ. Verse 18. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. He's a servant. Whoever this brother is that's coming along with Titus, he's a servant. And everybody knows it. And that's why he's got another assignment for the Lord God. The more of a servant we are at heart, the more opportunities to serve Jesus will come our way. And if you're a Christian, that's the sort of thing that you want. Verse 19, what is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. When Christians help each other, they honor the Lord. Jesus Christ loves that sort of thing. That's what he likes to see, Christians honoring one another and helping one another. 20. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift. You got to be careful. You know, preachers have to be careful when handling money, the church's money. Everything should be above board and honest. How we handle money is a barometer, really, of our level of spirituality. And that doesn't just go for preachers. That goes for Christians across the board. If we misuse money, we hurt our Christian testimony. You want to know how spiritual somebody is? Take a look at their checkbook. Really. And I'm not suggesting that you grab somebody's checkbook, but you can tell how spiritual you are. Let me put it to you that way. By looking at your checkbook. Who do you make your checks out to? You know, is it always Kmart or Walmart or some jewelry store or whatever? Materialistic things? Nothing wrong with that. But how many of those checks are made out to the Lord's work? Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. It's a good barometer. Verse 22, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. You know, God knows our hearts, but people do not. People measure the correctness of something by what they see. That's why, as much as possible, Christians must be careful to do what appears to be correct. Verse 22. In addition, we are sending with them our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. Some quote-unquote Christians don't want to be known as a zealous Christian. And I really don't know why. Oh, I know why. It's because they don't want to be seen as uncool in the eyes of the world. But if you're a Christian and you truly believe the message and you've truly been born again and you have the Spirit of Almighty God inside of you, my question is, why don't you want to be zealous for Jesus? Being zealous, on fire, head over heels, devoted to the one who saved us from hell, seems very natural, doesn't it? It only seems natural and normal and right. Verse 23. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. They were an honor to Christ because they could be counted on to do the correct thing. When Christians can be counted on, when you have a reputation that you can be counted on to do the right thing, even when nobody's watching, you know, you are an honor to Christ. 24. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. You know, love has to be seen. Or it isn't real. Love only comes alive in acts of love. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Chapter 9. Actually, you know, it is 9:14. So this might be a good time to take our break. and I think I will do that. I'll be back in 2 minutes. Please listen to this. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret.
Another example of God's incredible design, next on today's Creation Moments. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
The mother of pearl found in abalone shells is both beautiful and exceptionally strong. Scientists wanted to find out how the shell formed in the hope that they could discover the secret of the shell's strength. Researchers invented a clever way to do this, using only a couple of abalones growing in saltwater tanks. They placed a number of glass slides on the growing abalone shells. The new shell material thus formed on the glass slides as the abalones grew. Researchers removed a slide at intervals to study it under an electron microscope, leaving the remaining slides to collect more shell material. The microscope showed the well-known six-sided calcium carbonate tiles stacked like bricks. These tiles are cemented together with a protein. However, they found that the protein cement did not continue right to the edges of the stacks of tiles. Unlike normal cement, the protein cement stretches, and this permits the stacks to slide sideways rather than shattering when, say, a predator tries to break the shell. The shell can thus absorb a great deal of force without breaking, and this is the secret of its strength. The ordered structure of the abalone shell is difficult to explain as the result of unordered chance. The intricate genius of not gluing the edges of the stacked tiles to add strength to this design points directly to our Creator.
Creation Moments exists to glorify God by presenting scientific evidence for the literal truth of the Bible. For more information, visit our website at creationmoments.com and join us again for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
And with overcast skies, the temperature is up 1 degree in Wausau. We're up to 18 degrees at 9:16. Welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. We're studying 2 Corinthians, and we move now into 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, which reads, "There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints." And he was talking in the previous chapter about giving and helping out fellow Christians who are in trouble. So that's what he's referring to here. He's talking about supplying the needs of other Christians. Verse 2, he says, "For I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians," those were Christians in that area of Macedonia, "telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action." When a Christian gets on fire for Christ, that fire spreads to other Christians. Devotion to Jesus Christ is contagious. So you wanna start a revival, a spiritual revival, you can do it. You're like a Bic lighter. You flick your Bic, your spiritual Bic, and things start happening. Verse 3. "But I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be." And he says in verse 4, "For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident." If Christians don't back their words about Christ with acts of devotion about Christ, well, those words are hollow, and they come across as being hypocrites, and they probably are, and really they bring shame to the cause of Christ. And a lot of people will not take the message of Jesus seriously. It's really hard to take the message of Jesus seriously when Christians talk about Jesus and talk Christianity, but don't sacrificially act it out. Verse 5. "So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly giving." So he's saying, plan ahead. Plan ahead. It's good to plan ahead. the best that we can, so that there's less pressure when the time arrives. God is in favor of planning. He planned the redemption of man long before he created the world. So, it's a good pattern to follow. God is a God of order. He does things decently and in order, and it is honoring to him when his people do that as well. Verse 6, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And again, he gets back to the subject of giving. And basically what he is saying is, if we are stingy, God's not going to bless us much. If we are generous, well, then God will be generous to us. And, you know, to a certain extent, we control the type of life we have. Verse number 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God wants us to give to his work because we care about him and genuinely want to help out in the matters that are very important to him. So you see, it starts with our relationship with him. If we appreciate him and we care about the things that he cares about, then we're going to give. That's the kind of giving God wants. See, I don't care about the things of God. It doesn't matter to me. Well, then you need to repent and get saved, because there's not any evidence that the Holy Spirit is in you. The Spirit of God lives in every true Christian. And that Spirit of God stirs the heart of that person to have a desire to do what God wants. We move on. Verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God gives us what we need to do what he wants us to do. No matter how much you give, no matter how sacrificially you give, you will never run out of what you need to do what God wants you to do. Somehow, God will supply you with whatever it is you need. Verse 9. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. A Christian who gives has a heart for God and gives evidence that they are right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's why it says a giver is righteous. He is righteous before God. He's not righteous because he gives. He gives because he's righteous. You see the difference? You can't earn righteousness by giving. God's not asking you to do that. He's asking you to repent and make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior and ask him to take control of your life, and he will give you the Holy Spirit. And then guess what? You're going to be a giver. You're going to give to the cause of Christ. Again, Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. In other words, you can't outgive God. You've probably heard that, and it's true. You cannot outgive God. In one form or another, he will repay anything that we give. And the amazing thing about it is, anything we have and anything that we give is already God's to begin with. He owns it all, including us. Verse 11. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. God can trust us with material things when he knows that we won't put those things before him. He can trust us with material things when he knows that we are spiritual enough to not turn them into idols, but to use them for enjoyment, sure, but also in service to his church. Verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So God's people understand, you know, that good things come from God. That's why when Christians are good to each other, well, they're going to be busy thanking God for the good that they are experiencing, because they know that ultimately those good things, though maybe the channel is another Christian, ultimately they come from God. 13, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Be nice to other Christians, and that will result in thank yous to God. In other words, if you want to do something nice for God, then do something nice for the children of God. 14. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. And you can bet that when you are nice to another Christian, they're going to pray for you. You know, people may forget to pray for you if you ask them, but they will pray without even being asked if you're kind to them. 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And of course, God gives many gifts, but his indescribable gift is the gift of himself. God becoming a man and bearing reproach, torture, and crucifixion from man in order to pay for man's sin is his indescribable gift. It is great beyond description. Can't fathom it, but it's true. If you have any questions for me, if you have any comments for me, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or, if you would rather email me, you can do that. I can be emailed at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. And if you want more of the Word of God, you can check out the Scripture Verse by Verse website. You can study the entire Bible online for free with my audio Bible commentaries. Pick any book of the Bible, any chapter of the Bible, any verse of the Bible, and study it. Study it and let God teach you about himself through his Word. It's very important to read the Word of God. And, of course, it's always free, because the Bible says, freely you have been given, freely give. So, that's very important to God. Please pray for this ministry. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would appreciate that. I'd appreciate hearing from you. That would be a great encouragement to me. Let's see, what else? So, if you need some place to worship this coming Sunday, you're welcome to join us. We meet at Island Place, which is right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. Our service begins at 10 o'clock. That's Island Place, right next to Oak Island here in Wausau, at 10 o'clock. And meanwhile, I'm with you Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock, although tomorrow I will not be with you. My son and I are going to the Packer game tonight, and I don't know what time we will be getting back. So I'll see you on Wednesday, though. I'll be back on Wednesday at 9 o'clock. So until then, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.